And you may have heard that we have a new pope. Did you hear that? We have a new pope. Pope Leo the 14th. Did I get that right? I
think so.
Yeah. He hails from the good old U.S. of A. Isn't that cool? Wouldn't have won that bet, that's for sure. But that's great. Congratulations. And here's a quote from another great pope. I just saw it this morning. I wrote it down. Added to the sermon. Like the sermon. Pope John Paul II said this, quote, "As the family goes, so goes the nation, and so goes the whole world in which we live." Well, I believe that's true, right? As the family goes. And the heart of the family is the mother, don't you think? The beating heart of the family is the mother. And this sermon is about mothers. And one mother in particular. But first, here's a little mental exercise you might find interesting. Maybe not. We'll see. Here's a question for you. Who in the Bible was the first person to bear witness to Jesus being here on earth? It's kind of a good little, kind of a fun exercise to go through. It makes a good, could make a good Bible study. And you can alter that question ever so slightly and come up with a bunch of different answers, go in different directions on that. For instance, if you Google that exact question, answers go in different directions, beginning with Old Testament prophets pop up, right? Yeah, okay. They were bearing witness to the future arrival of Jesus on earth. Yeah? But that's not really what I asked. What wasn't really the question. And so other answers you get from Google or AI or whatever that is, yeah, they start often with the birth narrative, the Christmas story bear, your favorite, right? They start with the Christmas story, and they presume that Mary and Joseph were the first to witness his arrival here on earth. Which sort of makes sense, right? They were definitely right there for it. But in fact, the Bible doesn't record a single word spoken by Joseph. And Mary does speak in the Bible, but not during the nativity story. Before and after, yeah, but not during the nativity story. And so one of the more popular online answers to our question, again, the question being, who was or were the first to bear witness to the arrival of Jesus on earth? One of the most popular answers, probably the most popular online, is the shepherds. The shepherds. In Luke chapter 2, it says, the shepherds saw him and they went out and spread the good news. They spread the word. Okay, then there's others. Here's a quick list of kind of runners-up of candidates for that question, the answer to the question. The wise men. Yeah, they came on the heels of the shepherds. Another couple were Simeon and Anna. Remember them? Simeon and Anna, also in Luke chapter 2. They both saw the baby, Jesus, in the temple, and they immediately knew who he was. And they went out and they bore witness to the arrival of the Messiah, the baby Jesus. And then if you tweak the question a little bit more, you get a different set of answers, starting with the adult Jesus. Jesus in his adult ministry. Like John the Baptist is an obvious answer. He saw him coming. Here comes the Lamb of God. And many people online point out that the woman at the well, right? The Samaritan woman was the first person recorded in the Bible to whom Jesus said in John chapter 4, I am he. Remember this? Jesus said to her for the first time, I am he. I'm the Messiah. And then what did she do? She went back to her town and spread the news to the people. She told everybody. Some people said, yeah, she was the first. And the list goes on and on. to include, of course, like the disciples themselves, and later on, the thieves hanging on the cross next to him, the Roman soldier right at the crucifixion. And then, of course, you can tweak the question, and who was the first person to bear witness to the resurrected Jesus? Mary Magdalene. Yeah. Yeah, and suddenly, what you come to realize by kind of going through this really thought-provoking exercise is that it's a really long list. It's a stunningly long list. And what I've mentioned, these people that I've mentioned here, is just the tip of the iceberg. It's just the beginning. In fact, as documented in the Bible, during his short life, 33 years or so, and his very short ministry, 3 years, there were thousands of witnesses, documented witnesses, to the presence of Jesus here on earth. Now, 3 weeks ago, we celebrated the great victory of Easter Sunday. And remember, even after his death and resurrection, the Bible documents hundreds of witnesses to the risen Christ. Hundreds. Our own St. Paul said there at one point there was 500 people at one time. And what you also notice, I think, kind of becomes amazing, is when you go through this exercise, there's an incredible diversity of people who bore witness to the life of Jesus here on earth. Just think about that. Think about that list of different people that we talked about. You know, from the lowly, local shepherds out in the fields to the very elite wise men from far off, probably from Babylon. From the rugged, Jewish fishermen to the outcast, shunned Samaritan woman. There were men, there were women, rich, poor, highly educated, not educated. There were free people, slaves, and there were demon-possessed people. All kinds of people, all possible types of people, saw and bore witness, eyewitness, to the earthly presence of Jesus Christ. Kind of a good reminder, I thought, as I went through that process. A good reminder and a kind of a good lesson in itself, I thought. But I started with a question. Who was the first? Who really was the first? And despite all the people we've mentioned and all the possible answers you can find online, Google or AI or whatever, I still think we've not named the actual person, the correct person. Turns out that if you want to really get the right answer to a tricky question like that, you have to come to St. Paul's Church in Bowmansville, Pennsylvania, right, Charlie? Where the deep thinkers reside. AI won't do it. Nope. The answer can be found, hiding in plain sight as usual, in our gospel reading today from the first chapter of Luke. But before we get to that, a quick side note. Luke himself, who wrote that gospel, was not an eyewitness to the events of his own gospel. He missed it by a few years, not many, 15, 20 years. Luke was a very close companion to our own St. Paul. He joined up with Paul in his second missionary journey, probably around 50, 55 or so A.D. And of course, Luke became an adamant believer and a passionate writer. Very passionate in his desire to get it right, to write it down and get it correct in terms of the history of what actually happened. Now, listen to how Luke begins his gospel. Listen to this from the first few verses of his gospel. Quote, "Many of us have undertaken to write down the events as they were told to us by the first eyewitnesses. Since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I decided to write an orderly account so that you may know with certainty the things that occurred. End quote. Nice of him to do that, right? And from there, Luke immediately launches into a story about a man named Zechariah and his wife named Elizabeth. We heard the story from Grace in our gospel reading today. Now, Luke makes it clear up front, both Zechariah and Elizabeth were good people. He says they were righteous in the sight of God. They were both descendants of Aaron, brother of Moses. It was Zechariah's role to be kind of the active priest. He was the guy doing the work, out in the front. He was the priest out in the temple. That was his job. And by tradition, it was Elizabeth's role to be a wife and mother, a homemaker. But unfortunately, the story discloses that they were advanced in age and, quote, childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive. This is how Luke begins his entire gospel. And what we quickly determine, especially on this Mother's Day, is that this story is really about, mainly about, Elizabeth. And it's a beautiful story, beautifully written. Elizabeth, the name itself, her name means God is my oath. God is my promise. Elizabeth, her name means that God's promises can be trusted. And we can be sure that she prayed every day of her married life, certainly, for one thing more than anything else. She prayed to have a child. She prayed to be a mother. And the unfair and even cruel stigma of that time was that to be a barren woman was seen by many in society as a social disgrace, a moral failing, and even a curse from God. But I believe that our Elizabeth today in Luke's gospel was strong and was sustained by her prayers in the hope, the promise that her prayers would be answered. She somehow knew it. And so, even late in their lives, when the oath, the promise, was indeed about to be kept, the angel Gabriel, he doesn't come to explain the news and the details to Elizabeth. No. He explains it all to her husband. I almost said dopey husband. He comes and explains it to her husband, Zechariah. And Zechariah responds, of course, with stunned confusion, right? We would too. He was stunned. He was confused. How can this be? How can I be sure? Right? Gabriel says, because I'm an angel standing here telling you, right? And then Gabriel did something really cool. He said this. Now I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. He said, listen, Zechariah, this really is not a Father's Day story. It's not about you. This is a Mother's Day story. So now, let's just hit the mute button on you and let the ladies do the talking. And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. And thank God, yeah, thank God that's what happened. He was rendered silent for quite a long time. And as we heard in our gospel reading today from Grace, Elizabeth became pregnant and was now finally what she had longed for and prayed to be. She was a mother. That's what she wanted. In verse 25, Elizabeth said this, "The Lord has done this for me and taken away my disgrace among the people." God had kept his promise, his oath to Elizabeth. The promise that he had surely made to her, and she knew it. And also, he kept the promise he had made through the ancient prophets. Now, do you remember this? In our first reading today from Malachi chapter 4, we hear the very last words in the Old Testament, the very last words of the prophets before they went silent, really, literally before God went silent, for 400 years. And what did God say through the prophet Malachi in the closing words of the Old Testament? Quote, "I will send the prophet Elijah to you. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents." And then, 400 years later, the angel Gabriel told Zechariah that the child, John the Baptist, who was about to be born to Elizabeth, would, quote, "go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents." The promise of John the Baptist was being kept through the mother, his mother, Elizabeth. So in closing, this is not just a story of one mother on this Mother's Day. No, it's a tale of two mothers. 6 months into her pregnancy, the older, wiser, much calmer mother Elizabeth was visited by someone, wasn't she? Remember? A very young mother-to-be paid a visit to Elizabeth, her cousin, Mary. And Luke very carefully and very beautifully portrays this in his gospel. The young mother Mary was a nervous girl. Understandably, right? She was greatly troubled, and she went to stay with her older, wiser, calmer cousin Elizabeth. For 3 months, she stayed there. And the encouragement, wisdom, and love of Elizabeth had a great impact on young Mary. It was a huge, huge blessing. Just think of it. Just think of that. Picture it. These two mothers, two young, one older, one younger ladies, changed everything. They changed everything, everything. Through the patience, through encouragement and faith, obedience, and a focus on motherhood. Elizabeth and her young cousin Mary. Okay, I almost forgot verses 42 and 43. When Mary first arrived there, Elizabeth was, quote, "filled with the Holy Spirit and in a loud voice exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear.'" Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? End quote. And so now finally, we answer the question that we started with. We hear it. St. Paul's Church in Bowmansville, Pennsylvania. We know that it was Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. She was the first person to bear witness to the presence of Jesus Christ here on earth. Amen.